Spedcasts Episode 2. Welcome to Spedcasts, bringing you relevant topics affecting special education educators, parents, and students. Good morning and welcome. It's great to have you here again today. Our topic for today is teacher tips for classroom inclusion, and this will be over several episodes. This first episode will actually be level one. We'll break this into several levels and talking about inclusion tips for classroom teachers. But I wanted to start out with a quote to just have you reflect on as we phase into this first session of inclusion discussion. And the quote is by Roger Schenck. Learning happens when someone wants to learn, not when someone wants to teach. And I just love this quote. I mean, think about it. It's not really rocket science, but honestly, for all of our kids, learning happens when someone wants to learn. And what is it that we need to do as teachers to engage our students, not just special ed? I'm talking regular ed students too. What do we need to do in our classrooms, in our practices, to create an environment where they want to learn and not just be receivers of knowledge, and for us as teachers to be dispensers of knowledge? Love that quote. Think about it today. So, considering a leveled system of inclusion, we know that special ed is kind of an all-encompassing category for multiple disabilities, everything from learning disabilities to autism to severe and profound populations, speech and language, behavioral difficulties. The list just goes on and on. So it's really an all-encompassing, complex world. So this first episode will be a level one, which will be for our students who just need support as needed. So those are our pretty mild students. They're just going to need support as needed in the classroom. And of course, these are our students with an IEP. They may have a para working or assisting and helping them, but again, it's on an as-needed basis. So maybe they don't even have a paraprofessional in the classroom. Maybe they don't even have a special ed teacher in the classroom. It's maybe one of those things where they're just checked in with, once a week or once a day, just to see how they're doing. The teacher, the regular ed teacher, actually makes the accommodations in this level one system for the students. The team would select the objectives for passing the class. Maybe the student is able to achieve all of the objectives because of their high functionality within the classroom. But maybe there are some objectives that need to be reviewed to see if they really are capable of obtaining the objectives listed based on their special education diagnosis. So that's something that the team would need to look at and decide. This student would take the grade level state assessment, and interventions would just be on an as-needed basis. So here are some things to think about when we think about interventions. First of all, modified assignments. Are they necessary for this student? And the modified assignments will probably be minimal. Consider having student mentors for your child that you're working with here. Consider providing notes. And one thing I love about this is, in this digital age with iPads and iPods and all of the tools that are becoming more available and more affordable for us, there are applications out there that can support our special needs students. For example, when we think about note-taking, there's an app called Notability. I love this app because it's very user-friendly. The interface of it is very attractive to the eye and easy to use and navigate. You can type into it's basically a digital notebook that you can type into. You can change the backgrounds. You can use your finger and actually highlight. You can change the highlight colors. You can verbalize information to be recorded. Once you have that information on your digital notepad, you can email it. You can create a PDF. So it's really user-friendly and nice for students who are taking notes in class, whether it's a regular ed or special ed student. But this is a tool that I think is pretty powerful for our students who are able to take notes as well. And also you can have the notes actually downloaded to the app and then have the student, if you're giving them notes ahead of time, have the student highlight the key points as the teacher is sharing the information or lecturing during that time. So having the notes provided and you and pairing that with technology can be very powerful. Considering alternative modes of representation of knowledge. So when we think about what it is that the student knows and thinking about how we want to gain that information from them, there's different ways that we can consider it. And I think this is good for all students. So in other words, instead of just saying, take out a sheet of paper, number your paper 1 to 10, we're going to take a 10-point quiz, you could actually look for different ways to assess knowledge of the information. So consider an oral presentation of their knowledge, maybe using a technology tool of their choice. So allowing the students to choose, and you could do this again with the whole class, choosing a technology tool that they would like to use to present the information that they know. So maybe it's a PowerPoint or a Keynote or a Prezi. But also there are other venues out there that are very usable as well that can be pretty exciting. I know I heard a story the other day about a student. She was a high school student, and the teacher knew that she was very intelligent. She wasn't even a special ed student, but I thought of many of my high school students that I worked with that were very artistic and that this same scenario would have possibly been effective for them. But what she did was she never turned in her math algebra homework. And yet the teacher knew that she was pretty knowledgeable on this, but she just would not turn in her work. So she had failing grades. And finally the teacher said, okay, I don't care how you turn it in, but I want you to show me that you understand the information. And she went home and she created this elaborate cartoon of each of the problems, and it was very in-depth and very detailed, beautiful artwork, and it had to have taken her hours to put together. But she found a way to show that she knew and actually had a deeper understanding of the mathematical processes that were being taught. So looking for ways for students to demonstrate the knowledge that they know in a way that's meets their needs or their ability or learning style. The third area to consider when we think about interventions is having the student track their own data. You know, with the new Common Core standards that most of our nation has developed or taken on to be part of our assessment process, we know that students having ownership of their learning is a huge component in this process. So having students track their own data and be a part of this process is what we're going to be charged with. And so looking for ways to have students do that, we want them to have ownership for their learning. And so tracking their own process progress can be pretty powerful. Also having an agenda or a way for them to keep track of assignments. And, you know, I think about times where I supported students in the classroom, and it's easy for them to become dependent on an adult, whether it's the special ed teacher or the para. And so looking for ways to help them be independent, because someday they're going to leave us and there's not going to be someone there to hold their hand and say, remember to turn in your such and such paper. So finding ways to help them be independent. And again, I go back to the iPad apps there. You know, if you have that that tool, it can be so powerful. There's apps called Homework Helper and many, many others that help students keep track of and will send them alerts. You could help make timelines on, you know, the process of progress of a report or project that a student's working on. So helping them have ways to empower themselves to track their own progress and monitor their assignments and getting them turned in on time. Another idea is showing them some models of end products. Sometimes our students can be visual learners, but they don't have a visual yet of how what the outcome is supposed to look like. And so while there may be multiple options for what the final product of the project might look like, giving them some ideas as a starting point can be pretty powerful to get the brain juices turning, so to speak, and get them thinking about a way that they're going to demonstrate their knowledge through a project or in assignment, having a model. Another powerful tool for them is verbal and written directions. You know, a lot of times we verbalize the instruction of the assignment or the lesson, but we forget to have visuals or the written word to accompany it. And so having that can be another easy tool for supporting a student in a classroom that just needs moderate or mild supports. Another thing to think about is breaking long assignments into parts or sequencing these steps for them. Sometimes, you know, I've been in classes where, you know, the instruction's given and then we have 60 problems and it's due tomorrow, have at it. Well, this can be really overwhelming because for many of our students, especially who have processing difficulties, the idea of taking on 60 problems and it's due tomorrow can be a real struggle because one problem could take a great deal of time. So breaking the assignments into parts and sequencing them and giving them support and monitoring them. Sometimes when we have high functioning students, we think, well, they can, you know, be in class, they'll be fine, they don't need much support, and we forget to check back in and really make sure that they are comfortable and moving along in the progress that they need to. We talked about highlighting using the Notability app or some apps like that, and students getting notes ahead of time can be very helpful. This takes a little legwork on the part of the regular classroom teacher to be organized enough to have at least a skeletal outline available for the student, but really it does help give some structure to what's going to be shared in the lesson. And then the student doesn't have to focus necessarily on the fact that they're taking notes, but they can actually look at the word and listen and begin to process that because they already have the language written down for them. If they're having to write the information down, it's difficult for them to also process that information. So if we can save them that step, that can be a huge and powerful tool for our students in the regular ed classroom. And last idea here is to permit test retakes. What is it that we're trying to achieve here? And sometimes teachers struggle with this. If they take the test again, that's really not demonstrating their knowledge. They're just going to keep taking the test, and that's redundant. But what I want to pose here is, what does learning look like? What is it that what is the outcome for our student that we're wanting to achieve here? Some teachers will plan for alternate ways of demonstrating knowledge, and I think that's so powerful. So whether that's a test retake or maybe providing an alternative way for the student to exhibit their knowledge is also a strong skill as well. So maybe allowing them to do a poster or to verbalize their answer, PowerPoint. I mentioned the comic. Comic Life is an app that's available that students can actually demonstrate knowledge or use that as a tool to show what they know as well. So the key point there really is looking for ways, whether it's a quiz or a test, or I should say beyond just a quiz or a test, to see what the student does indeed know. Because many of our students are not good test takers. They freeze up, they just have test anxiety. So if we can find a way to discover what it is that they know and it meets the criteria of the objectives for the lesson, then why not consider that as a way to assess them? And that can be good for all students too. I think our students get over-tested sometimes and get frustrated with all of the test taking that they have to do. So finding a different way to show what they know can be fun for everyone. So this concludes our episode on tips for classroom inclusion. Tune in next time for episode 2, our level 2 classroom inclusion, and be sure to check out the show notes.